happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A massive winter storm is on the move from Missouri all the way to the East Coast. This woman in Philadelphia is bracing.
I'm a little anxious and trying to stock up and be ready.
A combination of snow, ice, and freezing rain is pushing through the Ohio Valley and into the Mid-Atlantic region. The Washington, D.C. area could get up to a foot of snow. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
Untreated, unplowed roads will become absolutely impassable for a while. The snowfall rates could be in the 1 to 3 inch per hour rate, and that is going to cause blinding visibility. It is going to be very tough to get around.
Almost 1,800 flights in the U.S. have been canceled or delayed so far today. The country's first congestion pricing plan is entering its first weekday this morning.
Former New York City Traffic Commissioner Sam Schwartz says it's the perfect test case.
Frank Sinatra said if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And that, in fact, is the case with congestion pricing.
Stuart Cohen with the San Francisco-based transportation group Transform thinks it will work and other American cities will try it.
It's just a smart way to manage congestion, and New York will set the pace on that.
Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Congress meets today to certify the results of the 2024 election. President Biden.
It's a day that most of our history we took for granted, the 6th. But I hope we never take it for granted again. You know, 4 years ago, January 6th, this Capitol was attacked by a violent mob.
President-elect Trump has said he will pardon many of the January 6th attackers. President Biden heads to New Orleans today. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The president and first lady are expected to visit and grieve with family members of those who were killed during the deadly New Year's Day rampage. Louisiana's governor has ordered a day of mourning for each of the victims. That begins today.
We've learned the Army veteran who staged the attack on Bourbon Street visited the city at least twice before and used Meta smart glasses to scope out the scene. Netflix, Emilia Perez was a big winner at last night's Golden Globe Awards on CBS. It won 4, including Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Lead actress Carla Sofia Gascon spoke out in support of her trans community.
You come and maybe put us in jail. You come beat us up, but you never can take away our soul.
The Brutalist won Best Drama. Its star Adrian Brody, Best Actor.
My character mirrors the story of my grandparents and my mother's journey coming to America. Their resilience and their sacrifice.
This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
The Packers lose to the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lost at home to the Bears 24-22. It's the first time in 6 years Matt LaFleur has ever lost a game to Chicago, and he confessed calling a timeout with 15 seconds left to play probably helped the Bears get in position to kick a winning field goal.
And then at the end of the game, that's squarely on me. Hindsight's 20/20. I wish I wouldn't have taken the timeout because it gave them obviously way too much time to go down and operate.
The win snapped the Bears' 11-game losing streak to the Packers and helped rookie quarterback Caleb Williams get a win on his first trip to Lambeau Field.
I would say I think five times this season, and those situations didn't go our way, whether it was the Hail Mary or a bunch of other things. Being able to do it this way versus Green Bay, 2-minute drive, you know, couldn't ask for a better way.
Up next, the Packers face the Eagles in Philly on Sunday at 3:30 in the wild card playoffs. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight against the Toronto Raptors. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mamma Mia, there is a new champ when it comes to stage musical adapted to the big screen. Wicked has been a box office juggernaut since its release in November, and now it's just passed Mamma Mia as the number one musical stage adaptation, according to Pubity.com. The results of the poll apparently sent fans of Mamma Mia into a lather on social media. The friendly competition and debate between the two films should continue as Mamma Mia has a third installment in the works, and the Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande-led Wicked will see Chapter 2 hit theaters next November. If you don't like to watch horror films, films, there is the option to sidestep the blood and creep and just read the script. Deadline's Read the Screenplay series has made the script for the recently released Nosferatu available at Deadline.com. The screenplay was adapted by Robert Eggers, who is also the director. Nosferatu stars Bill Skarsgård and has received rave reviews and is currently in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 23. For tonight, mostly cloudy and a low near 8. Partly sunny, highs near 20 on Tuesday. For Tuesday night, mostly cloudy and lows in the single digits. Mid-teens on Wednesday, mostly sunny Thursday, 22.
Currently, it's 10.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the weekend's news, and we bring back Beyond the Cheese. Wisconsin knitwear is featured. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, January 6th. 2025. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast, or on social media. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Are you ready for the playoffs? Because the Packers aren't. I mean, they're still getting in the playoffs, but ready? No. In fact, before we do all the temperatures and then I conclude with Radio Park and Racine, and then we introduce the guy that's down in Racine, framed around the Packer loss, I instead would like to introduce the smartest man in Wisconsin, Greg Bach, the guy who did not watch the Packers become humiliated and embarrassed by the Chicago Bears yesterday. Congratulations, Mr. Bach. That was genius.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was, in fact, your original plan, was to watch something other than the shellacking that we thought the Bears were going to get from the Packers. Oops.
Instead, they went down 2 points under like they did with the Vikings the week before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I have a Sunday off, we managed to do movies all day long. I don't get a lot of days full 100% days off, so on Sunday I try to be as lazy as possible. And we watched a bunch of movies, and I just sort of, you know, checked in with the score throughout the game. And I'm like, oh, they're losing. Like, the second quarter, I'm like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. And then I look again, I'm like, oh, they're still not winning. And then I'm like, oh, they lost. Mm-hmm. Is Chicago, like, the thing is, I'm more worried about Chicago winning against the Packers. Are they okay?
Yeah. And they looked all right, but yeah, they weren't that great. I mean, the Packers had many more yards gained, and you know, they were atop the game statistics in many ways.
Yeah,
but not the scoreboard, especially that first touchdown, which was done on a trick play. And I mean, a few things are more frustrating to a casual football fan than watching a team of millionaire professionals fall for the old trick of the punt is going to one guy and the whole team fakes you out. And meanwhile, the ball is caught by the other guy on the other side of the field who runs all the way for a touchdown. I mean, yeah, in your backyard, maybe that works. But to work at Lambeau Field against the Packers, I mean, that set the tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
It was just that bad. And so our prize, if you will, for yesterday's ineptitude is that we now go to Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs to take on the number 2 seed, the Philadelphia Eagles, Sunday afternoon at 3:25 here on some Civic Media stations and on ABC ESPN. And, I mean, I don't want to be negative Nelly here, but
don't know that we're going to be, I think this conversation a week from today is going to sound kind of similar to today's at this point. So I hope they surprise me, but whew, that's a rough morning for Packer Nation.
What would have happened had the Packers won against the Bears yesterday? How would that change the outcome of the playoffs next week?
There were several moving pieces, and interestingly enough, at the exact same time that the Packers were losing on a winning field goal by the Bears as time expired, the Washington Commanders pulled off a last-moment victory against the Dallas Cowboys. And so it actually didn't matter, because with the Commanders winning, the Packers still fell to the seventh seed. But literally seconds earlier, if the two games had gone the other way, the Packers would be the sixth seed and probably on their way to face the LA Rams.
Yeah, it's pronounced La Rams, Pat. Thank you.
La Rams. Sorry. Yes. That's right. Tony writes on YouTube, they'd be playing in LA. He writes, I was 100% sure the Packers were going to win by one in the fourth. Why they took a timeout with so much time left for the Bears to get a chance is beyond me. Yes, horrible clock management. Dare I say, Bears-worthy clock management there by Matt LaFleur. And he recognized it. He understood what he screwed up there. Alicia's getting ahead of herself over here, saying, I'll be honest, I'm looking forward to the end of the football. 41 will be nice on Sundays again. Well, it'll be okay, but not nice. Sorry.
Oh, you mean the weather that will totally reverse me buying a snowblower this past weekend?
Is that why the snowstorm went to the south of us? You bought the snowblower and warded off the evil spirits of this particular blizzard.
Pat,
last
time we had a snowstorm a couple weeks ago, my wife said, did we buy a snowblower this past year? I'm like, no, we didn't, because it was so mild and we got by. And then I was like, and this is not, I'm not making fun of her or calling her like a, you know, wag a finger type of thing, but I felt like that comment was like, we need to get a snowblower, and she was right. Mm-hmm. We need to have one for the years down the road, not just for this year. But when you buy one and the snowstorm is nowhere near what you expected it to be, I like, it's not snowing in Kenosha right now. It stopped snowing. It was supposed to snow until like this morning or this afternoon, and I'm looking at my credit card bill like, oh my god, why?
Well, I mean, come on, you know it's going to at some point, just not this particular time. It's not like it wasn't a one and done situation where you I missed my one chance to use a snowblower in Wisconsin.
But I did buy a battery powered one. I bought one with non-gas. Pretty proud of that.
Did you really?
What's up, everybody? I love the earth.
I'm looking at the map here, and it basically is Central Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia. I guess Washington, D.C. is going to get pummeled on this first day of the new Congress. Mwahaha.
Maybe there is a mean God up there. I don't know. It's like,
yeah, who knows? Just not here, which is fine. Again, we'll get our chance soon enough.
Yeah.
Speaking of Washington, D.C., coming up on the program today, we will talk about the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection 4 years ago today. And through one of those cosmic coincidences, it's another anniversary today, ours, at Up North News. Up North News actually started, thank you. Thank you very much. 5 years ago today, on a Monday, January 6th, 2020. So we'll talk a bit about the two anniversaries, along with current events, Republicans meeting from the House of Representatives over the weekend, and how they think they're going to get Trump's agenda through Congress. And by the way, we'll talk more about that tomorrow morning with Congressman Mark Pocan, who will join us at 7:30 tomorrow morning to talk about the new Congress getting underway. The new legislature gets underway in Madison today as well, and so we will talk a bit about that. And overall, with the legislature still Republican-controlled, the House, the Senate, and soon the White House all under Republican control, we're going to have a discussion at 7:30 today with John Shelton, a professor of at UW-Green Bay, and we're going to talk a bit about the reasons that he believes that so many voters either chose Republicans or stayed home, as the case may be. And so he's going to talk a bit about his article in The Nation magazine about how Democrats need a big change to their year-round messaging if they want to win back blue-collar voters. Also in our second hour, more details with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemaro about a new plan released by Governor Tony Evers this morning. He has seen enough of Republicans monkeying around with the state constitution. You know, we've had, it seems like, an endless series of referendums to put Republican policy into the constitution because they know that Governor Evers would veto it if it passed as a bill. And so why should Republican legislators be the only one with access to the constitution through initiative and referendum? So he has unveiled a proposal that would allow you, the voters of Wisconsin, to directly propose and vote on constitutional amendments, because maybe then we would amend the state constitution with things that are more in line with the preferences of state residents. You know, the things that continue to be ignored by Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature. So we will hear more about that from Elizabeth Montemaro in our second hour as well. So a lot to tell you about on this Monday morning, including, again, as the Trump transition continues here, I wanted to play a little audio from Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, who was commenting on all that is going to be happening as she starts a third term in office. And I just don't want people to forget with all of the rush of everything else that's going on in Washington, and things kind of come and go in the news. And let's remember that there are still some people floating out there who were at the center of controversies, but they didn't go away. They're still there. They were just hoping the controversies would blow over. Pete Hegseth is still out there as the potential Secretary of Defense. And Robert Kennedy Jr. is still sitting out there as the potential Secretary of Health and Human Services. And when asked about that, Senator Baldwin remarked on Robert Kennedy Jr. that with her new position on the Senate Health Committee, he's not done getting scrutiny just yet.
We also have probably coming before the health panel, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has made some very controversial stances in the past. And again, I think of Wisconsin. We, RFK, if confirmed, would oversee a department that has a key lead role in biomedical research. That's really key that we find treatments and cures. And we have a lot of research going on at our universities in the state of Wisconsin. But I also want to make sure that in terms of public health, that our kids don't get the mumps and the measles or polio. And so I'm going to be questioning him very carefully about his positions on vaccines.
And rightly so, which is not to say that Democrats alone can necessarily stop his confirmation. But if enough Republicans hear from folks about their concerns about having a Health and Human Services Secretary who is, you know, against the vaccines that have saved countless lives, that could still make a difference. Mike Johnson, by the way, did win on the first ballot to be Speaker of the House, despite all of the hints that there would be renegade Republicans that wouldn't support him. He did get the votes of all six Wisconsin Republicans and really could only afford to lose one vote, and he only lost one vote. And so he narrowly wins as Speaker. And coming up yet this morning, we'll talk more about his strategy to pass a single bill that's designed to bypass the Senate filibuster that would contain everything that Donald Trump wants. One of many topics that we will cover on this Monday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this January 6th. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate.
As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the Recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It was on this day in 1968. That the Beatles scored their 11th number one album with Magical Mystery Tour. They would be the number one album for 8 weeks back then, 57 years ago, including the Magical Mystery Tour title track. And of course, Here I Am the Walrus, Fool on the Hill, Penny Lane, and so much more. We'll have today's history lesson coming up in just under a half hour here on Up North News Radio. Those bus stop temperatures, 8 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 2 degrees in Hayward. It's 1 below in Amory. Wausau is at 11 degrees right now. La Crosse, 10. Wisconsin Rapids is at 10 degrees. Green Bay, 24. Madison, 18. Waukesha, 19. And at Radio Park in Racine, where Greg is, it is 24 degrees right now. You can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Today's a special edition of the newsletter. Just two little items, both of them from me. One of them looking ahead to the legislative session and whether Republicans with a smaller majority might do something with a $4 billion surplus that's more useful to more Wisconsin residents. But we kick things off by talking about the anniversary of the insurrection and also our own fifth anniversary here at Up North News. Coincidentally, it was 5 years ago. January 6th was a Monday as well, back in 2020. And it was our first day that we'd actually gone live. In the closing couple of months of 2019, we were planning a website and a newsletter and maybe some social media posts. And it has grown so much more from there, to the videos that we do, to a presence on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and everything else. We have a national team that's contributing, freelance writers, photographers over the years who have contributed to what we put out as well. It was all started 5 years ago with a very simple mission, and that was to increase civic engagement. We had seen far too often that in Wisconsin and in other states, more and more newspapers were shutting down. Fewer local papers and fewer local TV stations were covering their state legislatures. They were following, you know, the big shiny national headlines, but weren't letting enough folks know that what happens in Madison truly matters more than most people think. When it comes to support for our public schools and whether we have clean air and water and the conditions that our roads are in. and of course the social issues that could come up in our state capitals as well. And so that was part of our early mission, along with a heavy dose of stories about what makes Wisconsin such a great place to live. Because we can't underscore enough the whole reason that we do so much to fight for Wisconsin through a political lens is because we love living here so much for a host of other reasons. Some of them rooted in our cities, some of them rooted in our rural areas. And to help all sides of the state appreciate one another, that more people in Milwaukee appreciate what happens up north and that more folks up north appreciate what happens in Madison, Milwaukee, and elsewhere. Well, along comes our first anniversary, and we've gotten through an election, and Joe Biden has been elected, but the outgoing president, Donald Trump, is casting doubts on that by lying about non-existent voter fraud. And it culminated 4 years ago today, on our first anniversary, on January 6th of 2021. And it is still numbing enough to think about what happened that day, to be watching it on my TV here, and at some point saying, okay, we've got to get to work now telling our audience about this. This is truly serious. And we're watching invaders. We're watching a mob in the halls of Congress of the United States of America. And Congress has had to leave, go underground and evacuate because we're watching police officers getting beaten. We're watching police officers getting tear gassed. We're watching them getting pummeled with American flag poles. We're watching Trump campaign flags go up across the United States Capitol. And in the aftermath of that, most folks rightly understood and condemned Donald Trump for his role in instigating this mob and calling them to D.C. and then telling them to go to the Capitol and to, quote, fight like hell. Now, even back then, there were signs that there were people that still did not appreciate the damage that had been wrought. Even in the aftermath of the insurrection, two congressmen from Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, voted to actually object to the certified vote totals of two of the states as the roll was called and the electoral votes were read. Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald voted, if they'd had their way, to nullify the will of the voters in those two states. And Tom Tiffany, prior to that, had signed on as a supporter of a lawsuit by folks in Texas that also would have negated the will of his own voters in the state of Wisconsin. And in the weeks leading up to January 6th, Ron Johnson held a series of hearings, essentially turning his congressional committee into a three-ring circus of conspiracy theories, all of which led to that violent mob that God only knows could have done what had they had just a little bit more leeway, had they had just a few more people, had there been just a few more folks willing to engage in the violence that others were egging them on to do. And so for that, you know, Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald all should have had the honor to resign or to be booted from Congress. That hasn't happened. The voters returned Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald. And now Donald Trump. They're all there. They're all coming back. And on our fifth anniversary, it only rededicates us to our mission to continue to expose what is as anti-American as this sentiment gets, to be opposed to democracy, to want to undermine the will of the voters, and to allow an authoritarian who this week will be re-adjudicated as a convicted felon to become president. There's no time to walk away. This is a time to continue to watch and to expose and to talk to voters and help them understand who's really working for them and who says they are, but their actions belie something entirely different. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
In recent times, Mexico has been one of our top trade partners, but there has been some recent turbulence in that. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and with me is Mike North from EverAg, and he's explaining why now more than ever, we're going to want to keep a close eye on that Mexico trading.
Well, one of the key markets to watch, Charity, is going to be Mexico. Mexico, by far and away, is our largest buyer of dairy products. And as we bring in this new administration, some of the talk around tariff and specifically pointed towards the issues in Mexico around the border and some of the nearshoring issues that we're going to chase after, that tariff might be used to ultimately try to gain some leverage in the conversation over those two concerns.
North says that with these possible tariffs coming, it could prove to be a little bit more difficult for the U.S. farmers, but hopefully in the long run, it will be good for us. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at the morning markets right after this.
Make the best of wintertime fun at the 4th Annual Sun Prairie Frozen Fest, January 29th through February 2nd, presented by the Bank of Sun Prairie. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy a variety of winter activities like the puzzle contest, cardboard sled classic, winter beer garden, bonfire, hibernation hustle 5K, pancake breakfast, and the 77th Annual Groundhog Day Prognostication. For more about Frozen Fest, log on to cityofsunprairie.com.
Pests are trying to turn parts of the corn belt into the corn rootworm belt. But DeKalb brand says, not on our watch. Crush corn rootworm with DeKalb brand SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology. It's the outstanding yield potential of DeKalb corn with advanced protection against corn rootworm. When pest pressure is highest, hit back your hardest. Talk to your DeKalb representative. Never settle. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those morning markets. The markets look to be showing us some strength as we open this morning with cash crop corn up 3.5 at 454 and a quarter, and new crop corn up 4 at 444 and 3 quarters. January soybeans are up 9 and a quarter at 990 and a quarter, and November soybeans are up 7 and 3 quarters at 1016. Wheat is following this trend as March is up 3.25 at 532.5, and July is also up 3.25 at 552.5. Class 3 milk contracts are also showing tiny gains as January contracts are up a penny at 2046 a hundredweight, and February contracts are up 4 cents at 2061 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 23. For tonight, mostly cloudy and a low near 8. Partly sunny, highs near 20 on Tuesday. For Tuesday night, mostly cloudy and lows in the single digits. Mid-teens on Wednesday, mostly sunny Thursday, 22.
Currently, it's 10.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
a Monday morning, January 6th, and we're playing a little Aha because of their ties to Norway. And music on Norway radio is also part of today's history lesson. That's about as cryptic a clue as you're ever going to get here, but that's coming up in just a few minutes. We normally hear from Dr. Kristen Lyerly Monday mornings at this point. She's off this week, finally taking some very well-deserved time off from her long congressional campaign and was continuing to work well past the election. In fact, I saw a post over the weekend from her meeting with a lot of the candidates in Northeast Wisconsin who ran for legislature this past year, and how they're staying in the fight in one way, shape, or form. Some will probably run for office again in 2026. Others will be involved to one degree or another, which is happening in part because of Dr. Lyerly's leadership. Trust me, I have seen far too often where good candidates came up just a little bit short, and then they walked away. And in part, it was because they're just, you know, people were burned out and, you know, nobody kind of reached out to them. And sometimes all you need is just that callback to say, hey, let's talk about what just happened and let's keep you motivated to carry on. And Kristen's been playing a role in that, and I'm very proud of her for that and hope she enjoys whatever it is that she's doing here. I mean, the woman worked right up until last week on the radio, but thus was born, what did you guys call it? Bach in the Dock, I believe. Yes, Bach in the Dock.
Bach and the Dock.
Did you guys have like any jingles made or anything?
I mean, no, we didn't have this could become a thing. I want t-shirts though. Like I want like a 70s t-shirt that says like Bach in the Dock and like puffy graphics and then like a little puffy rainbow underneath there. Like morning, Bach in the Dock. Mornings on Up North News Radio.
I could get used to that. I could look into that. It's one of my New Year's resolutions. It's like, we got to get coffee mugs back and some other things. So
the merch needs to make a comeback.
No kidding. I mean, we're so busy with the campaign and everything and all the elections. So let's put that on our to-do list. Merch.
Absolutely.
Including a little Bach in the Dock merchandise as well. Alicia Saunders was one of those who took part in a gathering with Kristen over the weekend, and she writes on YouTube, it was great. We had fun, and we are starting some plans. So there you go. The scheming has begun for 2026. And that's... How did you know to have that stored of all the many sound effects you could have?
Dearest Patrick, I have a panoply of sound effects at my ready whenever you need something.
A panoply.
Did I use that word correctly? It just came out of me.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Menagerie.
Yes, that's it. A cacophony of... okay, that's enough of the source stuff here. In this place tomorrow, we will be talking more with Up North News social media manager Sharita Booker. To kick off the new year, we thought we'd give a little extra time to talk about all of our social media platforms, because unless you're a real social media junkie, chances are you don't know all the different places where you can find Up North News or Civic Media for that matter. And maybe there's a platform that's just right for you, one that you aren't using right now besides the radio or Facebook or YouTube or Blue Sky or Instagram, whatever the case may be. So Sharita is going to help us review all of that tomorrow morning at 6:30. And then again, tomorrow morning at 7:30, we'll talk to Congressman Mark Pocan, who will be here as well. Forgot to give my usual invitation to join us on the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is how to join us by phone or by text, and we get a lot of text messages here that come in, and as we see them on screen, we may put them on screen here on social media for you to see as well. You can either text us at 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us or call us through the Civic Media app. And of course, as you hear frequently from Alicia and Tony and Rob, you can put comments on our Facebook or YouTube sites, and we may mention it here as well. We have an email address too, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's cover some of the other headlines then. We'll talk more in our next hour with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, who was at a press briefing from Governor Tony Evers, where he is proposing that Wisconsin have a version of what some states call initiative and referendum. Just about half the states have something where a constitutional amendment doesn't just have to come from the legislature. It could come if enough state residents were to sign a petition and put something on the ballot, same as with a candidate or recalling an elected official. And part of the reason that's being done, as you can imagine, is that right now, with only Republicans controlling the legislature, only Republicans in the legislature have access to changing the Constitution. And they have put forward a never-ending stream of referendums that are in keeping with their values. And sometimes they get through and sometimes they're shot down. But they've done nothing to pass things that are supported by an overwhelming majority of Wisconsin residents. Things such as reproductive health rights, gun safety, marijuana legalization, support for public schools, all of these things that have vast bipartisan support. And yet this legislature has done nothing than go along with whatever the extreme right of Republicans wants done. And it's kept Governor Evers very busy with his veto pen, but now he'd like to get busy adding more ability for Wisconsin citizens to amend the Constitution. And so we'll talk more to Elizabeth Montemurro about that in our second hour coming up here. What else did I notice here? There was an article by the group Common Dreams talking about how, with the Republicans holding the House, the Senate, and soon the White House, they are going to push for a pair of voting-related bills that could, in fact, threaten voting rights. And they name Congressman Brian Steil of Southeast Wisconsin as one of those who may be a leading figure in this push to roll back voting rights. He chairs the House Committee on Administration, and he shared the Republicans' plans for what's called the ACE Act, the American Confidence in Elections Act, and the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, SAVE. So the ACE Act and the SAVE Act. And again, they have these very highfalutin, lofty names, you know, Safeguard Voter Eligibility and American Confidence in Elections, when what they would do is undermine both. They'd undermine the safeguards in American elections and American confidence by rolling back Americans' ability to vote and to vote conveniently. Brian Steil said in comments to the Associated Press, as we look to the new year with unified Republican government, we have a real opportunity to move these pieces of legislation not only out of committee, but across the House floor and into law. We need to improve Americans' confidence in elections. Now, again, this may face, may get out of the House, but it would almost certainly need 60 votes in the Senate. So it's not that the proposal would go very far. But keep this in mind as I move on to the next bit of what House Republicans want to do. So from Brian Steil and others, you have bills that would attack voting rights. Meanwhile, Republicans over the weekend also held a retreat where they talked about how to pass, oh, they love this Trump terminology, a big, beautiful budget bill, as they repeatedly referenced it as. Speaker Mike Johnson laid out an ambitious timeline for a huge budget reconciliation bill. And reconciliation is just a fancy way of saying they would find a way to pass it that theoretically would not qualify to be stopped by a filibuster in the Senate. Johnson says the House could pass a single reconciliation bill as soon as April 3rd that would combine all of these things: border security, the expiring Trump tax cuts from 2017, an increase in the nation's borrowing limit, and spending cuts, all in one, again, big, beautiful bill. And then the Senate would clear the package for Trump's signature by the end of April, or Johnson says, certainly by May, he says, in what I would consider to be wishful thinking. Now, there are still Senate Republicans and others in the House who have been urging a two-bill approach, not to put all the eggs in one basket, but to first pass border security, defense spending, energy deregulation, and spending cuts first, and then turn to a tax cut package. Their fear is that if they all put it all into one bill and it sinks or gets bogged down, then none of the things will happen quickly, and they want some things to be able to happen right away. But again, let me reference back to Brian Stile talking about, you know, voting rights restrictions and energy deregulation and defense spending and border security and spending cuts, as well as the tax cuts for the very wealthy. Where in any of that do you see them working on the price of eggs or anything else related to inflation? That's all we heard about, didn't we? Was that the Biden administration had not done enough to reduce prices at the grocery store. Well, what the heck is all of this? As Alicia points out on YouTube, I thought they wanted smaller bills. Yes, they all the time railed against everything from the American Rescue Plan to the Inflation Reduction Act to the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law to the CHIPS and Science Act as too big. That these bold, audacious things that are creating jobs in this country and are handing Trump the best economy in the world right now, they had said were too big. And what they're trying to do is even bigger. They're trying to roll an entire 2 years Congress of to-do lists into one single bill. Because there is such confidence now with Republicans controlling the House and the Senate and soon the White House that they can get this done. I don't think they can get this done. And that's not me just trying to be, you know, negative. It's having watched these things come through Congress and understanding the desire to pass a lot through right away before any kind of gridlock can set in. But there are now enough people in any given caucus that can put the brakes on something. And if somebody in all it takes is now two, it takes two people in the House Republican Congress, Republican caucus, I should say, to say, no, these tax cuts aren't big enough, or, you know, this mass deportation plan in the border security part of the bill, you know, isn't big enough or whatever. And suddenly it's all bogged down. And I have said repeatedly, not that Republicans in Congress are going to take my advice, but they should be going for whatever little victories they can get off the top. Again, just in border security, you had a bipartisan agreement for border security ready to go, and Trump scuttled it. Well, the minute Trump takes office, he could say, all right, now let's tweak the bill this little bit so we don't lose the bipartisan nature of it, and let's get this done. And Trump would be able to show the country that he could actually get something done. He could be the deal maker that he keeps saying that he is. But that's not really in his nature because he's never been a deal maker. He could have passed an infrastructure bill in his first term. He did not. He could have passed some kind of health care bill in his first term, and he did not. He thrives on gridlock. He thrives on conflict and then tries to appear above it all, if only they would listen to him and give him all the power to make decisions. But that's not what we do in this country. We don't allow one single person to make all the decisions. And if we did, if Joe Biden or Kamala Harris got to make all the decisions, you can imagine how well that would go over. And so try as they might for that one big, beautiful bill, I am expecting a big, beautiful mess. Today's history lesson is coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislator's claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
If y'all can see Greg right now, he's got his headband on, his hair, his flowing locks, as he jams out to a little AC/DC at 6:52 on a Monday morning. Now listen to him do his best impression of AC/DC.
I'm back in black. I get the sack. I'm just very tired.
That was
right
a terrible now. Impression.
It's
terrible.
6:52, man. What do you want?
Terrible. I know. I'm sorry. Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurro is with us as well for today's history lesson. Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. Don't worry. We will not ask you to do any
Elizabeth
kind of impressions
has way
like
better
that.
Hair for headbanging than I do. Okay. So if anyone should be getting down with The Rock, it should be Elizabeth and not the man with who
I
can't dip his head
guarantee,
down.
No. Elizabeth is what you would call a classy person and has never swung her hair around to any kind of rock music like that, Elizabeth, right?
Notice
how she refuses to answer that question. Again, she's a very smart woman. We play this because of the anniversary of the birth of the late Malcolm Young, guitarist for AC/DC. Never one of the group's showmen, but he wrote or co-wrote every one of their hits, coming up with classic guitar riffs like that one that started Back in Black. This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Van McCoy, who had one of the biggest hits of 1975.
Oh, Pat, guess what happened? Technology failed me again.
Oh, you're kidding me.
But give me.
Oh, man.
But, oh, guess what?
Oh, what?
We're just going to sit back and...
There we go.
Oh!
You got it.
Yeah, but it didn't play... there it is. Do the hustle.
The hustle will come in behind us as we say that Van McCoy was born this day in 1944, passed away in 1979. Again, I always love bouncing this off the kids. Hey, Elizabeth, the hustle here from Van McCoy, anywhere in your repertoire, or is this the first time you've ever heard this disco classic?
Think about
Elizabeth, have you been to a wedding?
I no? have
this. Wow.
I feel so old right now.
I know. Okay. We got to stop bringing.
Not at a wedding.
Okay. Van McCoy, more than just this song, he also was a record producer for Gladys Knight, for Aretha Franklin, even for Leslie Gore. If Kristen Lyerly were here, we'd be playing one of the songs that he produced for Leslie Gore, but no. Let's see, another birthday today. Kathy Sledge of Sister Sledge is 66, the youngest member and lead singer of that family group. Now, here at least I know some of the younger folks remember this from the end of the movie The Birdcage. Still one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful film.
And then the rest of us who are significantly older still think of the 1979 Pittsburgh Pirates because this was their their song that particular year. We mentioned that the Beatles scored number one on the album charts this day in 1968 with Magical Mystery Tour, and it would hold the top spot for 8 weeks. And let's move on to 1973, where the number one song was by Carly Simon. You're a son of a gun. Don't you be name-calling there. Carly Simon's You're So Vain began a three-week run at the top of the singles charts on this week in 1973.
I love this song so much.
Isn't it so great? All right. On this day in 2017, Norway announced that it would gradually stop using FM radio and shift to all digital broadcasting, the first country to do so. And last month, Switzerland finished its nationwide conversion from FM to digital. Can you imagine the outcry if we told people here, everybody's got to get rid of their radios and get brand new radios that are just digital receivers? More FM?
There was a bill in Congress to save AM radio in cars. They were trying to get rid of AM radio. And people, anytime you take anything, it was like they lose their mind. It's my freedom. I'm like, all right, cool. All right.
Yeah. Yep. So Norway, Switzerland, switching to the cleaner, more efficient feed, in part because FM transmitters, they were getting old, needing to be replaced, and it would have been cheaper to go digital than to replace the digital or the FM transmitters. And finally, this day in 1990, Phil Collins' fourth solo studio album, But Seriously, topped the charts, including this single.
I am so cute.
Here, we'll do it. Do you remember? There, does that help? There.
That was great.
Yeah, thanks. That's the best you get from me at this hour of the morning. Alex Turner, frontman and primary songwriter of Arctic Monkeys, turns 39 years old today. Tony writes on Ashland, from Ashland on YouTube. Radio and old light bulbs. Don't take my freedom.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is. I mean, look, LED bulbs are getting better all the time, but I'm not going to lie. That first generation of LED bulbs, I'm like, oh, can I have my old light bulbs back, please? But, you know, technology is doing what it is. This is National Apple Tree Day. This is National Eat Your Beans Day. National Cuddle Day. I feel like that comes up like once a month or something. This is Three Kings Day. This is Epiphany. And so for many people, they mix that with this is Take Down the Christmas Tree Day. Elizabeth, is the tree, the decorations, whatever, are they still up at your place?
Still up.
See?
Still up. It's the last day of Christmas.
That's right.
You got to wait till the end.
Got to wait till the end of Epiphany. See? She's got the right attitude on this. Other people, Christmas night. But that's
My sister does it sometimes on Christmas night or Christmas morning. Done.
That's okay. That's their right. But for folks like Elizabeth and others, it lasts at least through this Epiphany Day. Elizabeth's going to be back with us after news, and we're going to talk more about the proposal by Governor Tony Evers for having constitutional referendums, constitutional amendments being proposed directly by voters, and what that could mean for the change of a Wisconsin Constitution more in line with Wisconsin values. That's coming up after this. Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A major snowstorm is bearing down on Washington, D.C., and Mayor Muriel Bowser has issued a warning.
Stay home. Please stay off the roads. Give our plow teams plenty of room to work during and after the snowfall.
CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Baltimore and D.C. could see up to a foot of snow if they get in one of these really heavy bands. In terms of the timeline for the East Coast, the heaviest snow is now through at least 3 or 4 p.m., and then things begin tapering through sunset.
The system's made its way east from the Midwest, where Kansas City is digging out from 11 inches of snow, the largest one-day amount there in 63 years. More than 264,000 customers in the region have no power. Members of Congress will trudge through the snow to get to work to vote on certifying the presidential election results this January 6th. President